Will you stand with me as I read today's scriptures, please? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. They also led two other criminals to be executed with Jesus. When they arrived at the place called the Skull, they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing."
Amen. You may all be seated. Thank you, Chris. I think I'm going to get a little closer to y'all. Don't be scared. It's mindful this week that we should be grateful for all those parents and relatives and teachers that taught us all as children right and wrong and good manners, right? My mom, my dad, my granny Irene, they were all great people who had to work really hard on this really rowdy guy in order to be polite to people when I was around them, in order to show them consideration and compassion. But they weren't my only teachers. I had another source. And that source was a magazine that I would find in the doctor's office or in the barber shop. And that magazine was called Highlights for Children. And when I opened up that Highlights for Children, you know, boring article, comic. And that comic was, of course, Goofus and Gallant. How many of you know Goofus and Gallant? Okay, for those that don't, these were multi-panel comics, basically, where you would have Gallant, who represented doing everything right, who was a good kid. And then you had Goofus, who was not so much, right? He was the one that would do things wrong. To give you an idea, if Goofus and Gallant both wanted something, Goofus would say, "Gimme." And Gallant would say, "Please." In response to receiving something good, like, say, an ice cream cone from your mom, Goofus would say, "About time." And Gallant would say, "Thank you." And then, if Goofus and Gallant were both at play and they accidentally knocked somebody over, well, Goofus would more likely kind of snicker and then run off, while Gallant would say, "I'm so sorry," and help pick that person up. It's kind of clear which one they were. I, like millions of other children, were trained on what was good and bad through Goofus and Gallant, which was good for me because I was a big Goofus. I think most of us that become pastors were Goofuses. And, you know, this is part of how we're being redeemed. We'll talk more about that a little bit later. But the thing that's important when you are a child is that you learn that please and thank you and I'm sorry are not just magical words you say. They're that way for a while, right? I don't know how many times I'm with my grandkids and their mom will say, "What do you say?" And they'll say, "Please," or "Thank you," or "I'm sorry." But it's almost like it's a magic word you're supposed to say. Later on, as you develop, then it becomes that magic word that gets you out of trouble, right? Especially, "I'm sorry." But then you hope that after a while, for both children and for adults, that we begin to internalize right and wrong. And that when we say please, we really are needing something and We believe in asking with grace. And when we say thank you, it is with a heart full of gratitude. And when we say, I'm sorry, it's because we really do have a penitent heart. A heart that is asking, will you forgive me? And what we know is when we ask the question, will you forgive me? And we experience that forgiveness, whether from the Lord our God or from other people, is that being forgiven, then we too can be forgiven. Today we are going to be focusing, just like Shannon was in the children's time, on that wonderful fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. And I invite you to say that with me. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Friends, what I want you to realize is that this is also a line in the Lord's Prayer that goes to the heart of the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? This is a line that's not just gospel. This is for true life and living true love. And so today we're going to dive in. And as a reminder, I just want to lift up that this series is based on Scripture, but also inspired by Reverend Adam Hamilton's book, The Lord's Prayer. Those of you that are part of that small group that meets after church, you're probably going to hear a few things that you read about today. They just hit my heart. And so just wanted to share that with you. So I looked up on the web what forgiveness was all about. First definition I came to was, it is the process of forgiving and being forgiven. Well, that's not really helpful. It's like, let's get to what forgive really means. Let's peel away the layers. Let's dive into that. So then I said, well, let's take a look at the Greek word that's used in the Bible, in the New Testament, most specifically. And that word for forgive is aphiemi. Isn't that a beautiful word? Aphiemi. Now, aphiemi is translated to forgive, or variations of that word thereof. But what aphiemi really means is to let go, to release, to send away. So when you say aphiemi, then what you are really saying is release, send away, let go of any resentment that you may have and your need for revenge or a need for revenge. This is what we're asking God, isn't it? Forgive us our trespasses. Aphiemi, our trespasses. We are asking God to let go of, release, send away the rights that God has over our sins so that we can be free, that our sins can be wiped away like Shannon was talking about earlier, so that we can be free from guilt and shame. Isn't that something? Aphiemi. But there's more to it, isn't there? We're also supposed to forgive others as well. We're supposed to also extend that grace that we have. Now, a few things about letting go and about sending away and about releasing when it comes to forgiveness. That doesn't mean that you forget. That doesn't mean that there aren't any consequences for your sin. What it means is that you are letting go, that you are releasing, and that you are sending away your right for vengeance. Reverend Hamilton says, if we don't have forgiveness, then all we are left with is a world full of vengeance and retribution. And that is true. And that's why forgiveness is not just profoundly important for our own lives, but for our whole world. But you know, I just want to bring attention to what that line says. And forgive us our sins. Yes, Lord, forgive us our sins. As we forgive others who trespass against us. It's not forgive us our sins and yeah, Lord, we'll do that too. We'll forgive other people. No. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin, trespass against us. Oh, that's a tough one, isn't it? And questions come to my heart. And we're going to get into these questions a little bit, but gosh, does that mean that because I have a hard time forgiving others that God is never forgiving me? We'll dive into that a little bit. But before we do that, I hope that you notice that if you have gone to different churches, if you just read the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, this particular line is stated many different ways. Have you noticed that? In Luke 11:4, and I'm going to check my phone scripture just like Chris did. Luke 11:4, this line says, "And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us." The Greek word there is harmatia, another beautiful sounding word. I just love the sound of Greek. Harmatia. And what that word is, friends, is an archery term. It's an archery term that means miss the target. Just think of the Olympics. Wilson's lined up. He pulls, he lets go. Oh, harmatia. He missed the target. That's a technical term, but people in Jesus' day, people in our day, we understand that as a metaphor, a very powerful metaphor. As that word is translated as a sin, and we understand that sin is missing the target. And I hear you saying, well, Rev Kev, what is the target? Well, the target is living a Jesus-centered life. And what does a Jesus-centered life look like? Well, the whole Bible speaks to that. Jesus Christ speaks to that in different places. How about love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The great commandment, Deuteronomy 6:5, Leviticus 19:18, smack together. How about do to others as you would have them do to you? The golden rule. How about doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with our God, from Micah 6:8. All of those different pictures give us a picture of the target of living a Jesus-centered, God-centered life. But we sin, we harmatia, and we lose our way. We heard Chris share from the King James Version of the Lord's Prayer. And I loved how you all said it together. And then you realized, oh, we skipped some verses and added a few at the end. That probably confused you a little bit. We'll talk a little bit more about those verses. But the big thing that I want you to notice is that there's a different word there. And that word is debt and debtors. I've gone to churches where they prayed debt and debtors. And they're using Matthew's version. The Greek word for that, and I have to look this up because this one's a little bit longer, is ophilemata. Ophilemata. And what that means is simply that you owe someone something. Ophilemata, you owe someone something. You owe a debt. You owe debt. Again, people in Jesus' day and people in our day should know that this is also a metaphor. This is a metaphor that's understood that as we sin, then we incur, we gain sin. Paul would say we accrue the wages of sin. And that we need to be forgiven our sin. We need to be forgiven our debts. You see, in Jesus' day, three things could happen to you if you were in debt. The bestest possible thing that could happen is that whoever you owed the debt to said, it's all right, you don't need to pay the debt anymore. Woohoo! But more than likely, if you owed money, if you owed a debt, then you were a servant to the person that you owed that debt. You were their slave until you paid that debt off. We would understand that more as an indentured servant. That's part of our history of the United States, right? And other nations, of having indentured servants. We would be a slave until we paid it off. Or we could be thrown into a debtor's prison. In which case, we were stuck in that debtor's prison until someone else paid off our debt. What's the technical term for somebody paying off our debt? Redemption. Redemption. And who is the person that pays off our debt? Redeemer. That's where we get that language, is from paying off a debt. So we understand that we have this need, that we incur debt when we sin, that when we harm others in our relationship with others or harm God, then we are incurring debt, and we need to be forgiven that debt. That's why we sometimes sing, Jesus paid it all, because Jesus is our Redeemer. Amen? So I've been a part of churches that, in fact, my home church in Springfield that said, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. I've gone to churches that said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Where do we get trespasses from? That's not a word that actually is spoken in that line in Matthew and Luke. Well, at least not in the versions we know. See, that's another Greek word. That is parablomata. How am I doing so far? Parablomata. I've got it broken out by syllable here. Parablomata. And parablomata means trespass, but it's not the exact word in most of our Bibles, except in 1526, William Tyndale put out an English version of the New Testament, an oldie English version. If you were to read it, it had oldie and all these different, it's like it's still reading another language, but it's beautiful. But William Tyndale is the one that substituted trespass in those verses. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And the reason why is because Tyndale saw a connection between what was said in that fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer and what Chris shared with us from verses 14 to 15, which Matthew, of all the verses in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew says, I want to really explain this fourth petition to you. And I'll use the King James Version. It's got ye's in there. Doesn't mean Kanye, okay? For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Wow. To trespass, in the Greek word, paraptomata, means to misstep, means to veer off, means that you veer off the right path you're supposed to be on, and somehow you find yourself on the wrong path. Are you beginning to see the connection between all these words? You know, veering off the path, missing the target, incurring the debt. Which is it? Is it sins? Is it debt? Is it trespasses? And the answer to that question is yes. All of them. Because they're all expressing the same reality. And so you can feel comfortable in praying in all those different ways. But now you know why they're different. And actually, I think we are better for knowing all the different ways of understanding how our sin impacts. Shannon spoke beautifully to experience the forgiveness of God. Boy, I don't know about you. I'm asking God for forgiveness all the time. So I advertised this message on Facebook today, I said we're going to be talking about the F word. And I made sure I said forgiveness in there. But it is the best F word ever. Because we need forgiveness. Some would say they don't need forgiveness. We need forgiveness. That's just who we are. And I hope and pray that all of you have been able to go to God when you needed to, and you have bowed your hearts as you've bowed your head to them and asked for God's forgiveness, and you've received it, and you've experienced it, and you're going, ah. But there's more to it. Yeah. Forgive us as we forgive others. And boy, that's so tough. That's so tough. Does God not forgive us if we don't forgive others? Well, I like what Reverend Hamilton had to say on this point, and I completely agree with him. That what Jesus is doing here is what Jesus does quite a bit, and that Jesus engaged in prophetic hyperbole, in which he's trying to communicate, it's not really about God not forgiving us as much as it's about our need and our struggle to forgive others. Because when you think about it, how can we ask God to forgive us if we're not willing to do that ourselves? And very often we can't do that. Unless we experience God's forgiveness. They are linked together. Now, I've spoken about the need to forgive sins all the time. Again, as we're talking about forgiveness of sins, I want to be real clear here that forgiveness is not forgetting. It's not saying that what somebody has done to us or what we've done to somebody else is right. There are consequences to that. And yet we are called to forgive, not seven, but 70 times seven times. I want to tell Shannon that actually means that for more than that. But we are. What that doesn't mean, and I will say this every time that I talk forgiveness, is that if you have experienced abuse in a relationship, you don't go back to that relationship, friends. You don't go back to that pain. You need distance. So that forgiveness can happen. You don't go back to that pain. There's a church right now where a woman has been kicked out of the church because she wouldn't go back to her husband who went to jail for abuse. And, you know, we would understand that situation of victims all around and hurting people all around. But you don't kick out the person that was abused. But it's so hard to forgive. But if you don't forgive, it's amazing how that impacts you. This last annual conference, we had a feature that where they were talking about the mental health of pastors and lay leaders in the church. And I was really thankful for that. You know, we had pastors that made videos where they were talking about going to a Christian counselor to because they needed it because of COVID and trying to deal with COVID. I was very thankful to hear that because, friends, I'm one of them. See, in fall of 2020, I also, for the first time ever, went to a Christian counselor. Should have done it years ago. All of us who are in ministry, really everybody, should have a counselor of some kind. But in the fall of 2020, I was having a rough time. I tried to keep it from you all. I don't know if you ever saw it, but what was happening is I was waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I was depressed. I was feeling like, what are we going to do? We close the church, we open the church, we close it back down again. What are we going to do? How am I going to do this? I'm no good at this. Lord, I know you called me, but I'm no good at this. And I had this anxiety thing going on where if something happened, some situation happened, then all of a sudden where I would get a little excited before and then it would taper off, I kept getting more and more anxious about something. I was like, so I talked with my wife, I talked with family members and said, I think I'm going to go see somebody. So I did. And it was great. I went for several weeks, for several months. And I met with someone to talk this through. It's like, how can I get through this? And I went thinking it's COVID that's causing me to feel this way. But what I discovered is it was not. COVID was just kind of the presenting situation that had me go this way. What happened was, is that in my conversations, I went back many years to a situation that I thought I had handled, but I had not. And it was a situation where I went to a colleague to ask for some advice, and the colleague gave me advice, but in a way that really hurt me. In a way where I felt really betrayed. I remember hurting at that time many years ago. And I wrote it down in my journal. But, you know, I dealt with it. As my sister, Robin, who's a Christian counselor, she was here a few weeks ago. As she would say, you put it on the back burner, but the fire is still on. And so what had happened was, all those feelings that I had of inadequacy and shame and everything else that came through that, that really was the root cause of some of my feelings of depression and anxiety. That COVID just really helped bring out in dealing with that. The bottom line, friends, is that through some good talking, I was able to deal much better with that. And I was able to forgive this person I had spoken to, because I know this person didn't mean to have that happen. But I was really able to let go. I didn't put it on the back burner anymore. I turned off the burner. And I was able to forgive. And you know what happened? I didn't get up at 3 o'clock in the morning anymore feeling defeated. And I didn't have these anxiety attacks that I had been having. Didn't make the job any easier being a pastor during COVID, as it's not easy to be going a church person during COVID, right? But forgiveness frees us so much. And so, I just want to lift up the power of what we have here in this fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Friends, because we pray this every week, and we just take it for granted. But this is so powerful. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive the trespasses of others. That is our calling, to be a people of forgiveness. Again, it is a choice, and it is a process, and it takes time. But it is something that is life-giving to be able to forgive. So, in this week coming up, what I would invite you to do is, as you pray the Lord's Prayer every day, when you come to this petition, is to consider, Lord God, I am in need of your forgiveness. Please forgive me for this. And let go. Send away, release. Let God's forgiveness work in your heart so you can experience being washed clean by the Lord's grace. But I also invite you to consider, who do I need to forgive? Who needs to forgive me? And pray. And hopefully connect. And may God's grace reach you. In the awesome, divine miracle of forgiveness. May it be so. And amen.